We acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and community. We pay our respects to them and their cultures and to elders both past, present and emerging.
Oh god.
How's everybody? How's life in everybody's underground bunkers?
What?
Do you have enough tinned beans?
Have you got tinned beans? I bought lots of tuna today and noodles, and I literally was on the phone to Ellen last week as I was in Woolworths in Brisbane City, and I had to buy long life milk, and I've never had to do that in my entire life.
I buy long life milk every time I buy milk, because I am a vegetarian woman and I do not consume the animal products, so I get my long life soy. Went to get the long life soy, the Woolworths home brand soy milk, which cost $1.60, and there was none. There was no Woolworths home brand $1.60, which I'm pretty sure I'm the only person that buys. There was no soy milk. I had to buy the last two, sorry everybody else, but there was literally only two Protein Plus Vitasoy cartons left, and I have them in my fridge and they taste bad.
Guys, it's a fucked up time, but we're here and we're doing a mini-sode for you. Mini-sode number one.
Minisode number one of two.
One of two. It's my episode first. Also, stunning news, Ellen's got herself a new laptop. So cute.
I'm so glad you told everybody that. Everyone needs to know that.
No, but like the picture is clearer.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah. It's looking great. Loving
Thanks.
That.
I'm feeling great about
as
it.
As for a check-in, I'm like a very anxious three.
Yeah, I'm probably a three.
Three? Zane? He's a four.
Zane's the best.
Shit. All right. So, mini-sode content. Jess, what's she going to do? I walked in tonight to see Zane and just being like, look, I just want to let you know, like, the episode I'm going to do is a little bit different. It's not a case. It's just something to make us all laugh. Also, just, like, corona, hashtag corona content, hashtag corona content. Basically, I didn't know what to do and I couldn't look at murder stuff this week because I am crying at the drop of a hat at the moment. It's what happens. You recover from a depressive episode and then the entire world falls into a pandemic. Rock on. So I started watching this YouTube guy called Mike's Mike. Have you ever watched him, Ellen?
No.
No? Okay. So I found his videos a couple of months ago because he did this video that was I Would Die for Claire from the Bon Appetit Test Kitchen. And I would also die for Claire from the Bon Appetit Test Kitchen. And I thought it was really funny.
Which is, you sent me a meme about Claire from the Bon Appetit Test Kitchen.
And I thought you would know
who
Claire.
To be like, haha, relatable. I didn't know who Claire, I still don't know who Claire from the Bon Appetit Test Kitchen is.
She's amazing. So he does these videos, basically. One of the videos that he does is called Essential Viewing, where he goes through like TV shows. So he's done like Real Housewives of Melbourne, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Dance Moms, and he goes through those shows and he picks like his favorite moments from the show. So that's like one of the style of videos that I've been watching and literally just like crying with laughter, especially about the Real Housewives of Melbourne, because my mother used to make me watch that. This other type of video that I have borrowed this evening is he ranks characters from TV shows. So I thought, as a bit of a laugh, we could rank the characters from Law and Order SVU.
This is So as soon as Jess comes in tonight and she opens up the thing and she goes, okay, so for my thing, I haven't done a case. And I've gone, Jess, my God, what have you done? And she was like, it's a laugh. It's going to be a joke. It's going to be a good time. You'll enjoy it. And a part of my mind was like, I don't know how, but this is going to have something to do with Law and Order SVU. Because Jess knows the only way that she can pull the wool over my eyes about something or like grease my wheels is if she incorporates Law and Order SVU. I'm down. The problem with this is that the best character on Law and Order SVU is obviously Olivia Benson. So it's just going to be like one is already filled and we're just filling all the rest of them.
So basically how Mike does it mm-hmm. is he like does like rankings. So mm-hmm. more than one character can be on a ranking.
Okay.
So the rankings that I've done.
I'm kind of excited to.
I know. I knew you would like it. So obviously we're not doing every character from Law and Order. I've just picked some stunning like main characters and also some yep. of my favorite guest stars that have been on. Also uh-huh. gives us a chance to talk about stunning SVU content. Just to let you know, if you would like to watch SVU on like a streaming service, Amazon Prime has series 8, 9 and 10.
I will be doing. Except don't support Amazon.
No, but if you're desperate. We should campaign for someone to have all of Law and Order SVU available for streaming. Hello Netflix, hello Stan, to get that content for us because hello hashtag coronavirus.
Yeah, a lot of watching will be going on in the next few days. Maybe I'll watch Bon Appetit.
Oh my gosh, yes, I will send you so many videos that you need to watch of Claire. Okay.
Okay.
So the levels that I've got for us ranking is uh-huh. number one is legendary.
Okay.
Number two is iconic.
Okay.
Then podium. So, like, they're okay. They make, you know, they placed.
Yeah.
And then the next one down is I don't know her.
Okay. Okay.
I love that you're happy now. She was so angry at me before.
This is so ridiculous. I'm so into it, though.
And then the final tier is the bap bow sound from Law and Order.
What does that mean? What does that translate
to? They're in the courtroom.
They're in the courtroom. Okay, yeah. I've got a few like ideas coming up, but my problem is that I'm really bad with names. So okay. I'm gonna
I've got like oh, you've got references.
Okay, cool.
For us to know about. So just anybody that I didn't or I do have like character explanations as well if okay. we don't know who we're talking
Love
about.
Love that. Okay. Okay, yeah. let's go.
So as I said, I don't have like, especially some of the newer seasons, like I don't know those people. So
oh,
I've
we don't
just,
care.
Like
if it happened like post like what, 2009, it doesn't exist.
We don't
exist.
Care. No.
Once okay. Elliot Stabler left, SVU stopped being SVU.
And that's when we stopped caring. Okay, hun? Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I watched this episode the other day and I was shook by how good it was.
Uh-huh.
This is the episode with like guest starring Cynthia Nixon as yep, Janice Donovan. Oh, mm-hmm. My God, what an iconic episode. So basically, Janice Donovan is a – she suffers from – what's the correct term for multiple personality?
Dissociative identity disorder.
She has dissociative identity disorder, DID. Uh-huh. And so she has these range of personalities and then turns out, oh, there's a twist at the end. it's an iconic episode. I will link all of the names of the episodes and like what season and like where you can watch it in the show notes. Okay, uh-huh. So where do we rank Janice Donovan as a character?
So sorry, it's legendary.
Legendary, iconic, podium, uh-huh. So she places, I don't know her, and bow, bow.
I would say iconic.
Yeah.
I would say iconic. There are so many like, I honestly feel like the legendary category is held by like the main cast, like yeah. the reoccurring cast, and mm-hmm. then also that one episode that Robin Williams was on. I would call it iconic. The reasons why it is iconic is that like gave us like a glimpse into the fact that Cynthia Nixon, she's not just Sex in the City.
Fucking
she's
stunning.
Got range, she's got versatility, she can do a lot of things.
Yep.
Her like bouncing off Olivia, oh, like
stunning,
amazing. I would call it iconic. It is also a very classic SVU. Like SVU has like three kinds of episodes: episodes they make up in their own minds, mm-hmm. episodes they riff from the headlines directly, mm-hmm. and then things that are like social issues that yeah. we want to expand on. And this is a social issue that we want to expand on.
Yeah.
They did
especially about talking about, you know, the mental health defense and stuff like that, like how yeah. They. you know, handled all of that. Very interesting. Okay, I totally agree with the iconic. I think as a villain, iconic status. Like, fantastic. Absolutely iconic. Okay. One of my other favorite episodes, this is an earlier season. This was when Mariska Hargitay had, like, the, like, little – she wasn't, like – she didn't have the little kick-out bits, but it was, like, short and cropped.
It was
and,
short
like, a little
and
bit,
straight.
Like,
yeah.
Hayden Panettiere, she played this little girl with the rock star parents, yes?
Yeah.
And she's, like, intentionally hurting herself to get attention from her parents and, like, tries to get, like, Olivia on side. Okay. Mm-hmm. Where do we rank Hayden Panettiere in that episode?
Remind me of that episode. What she ended up, was she lying about?
So she was lying about. So there was something involving her brother getting like assaulted, like her older brother, and she was saying that she was getting hurt, but she was actually just doing it to get attention from her parents because they were like touring musicians.
Yes. Yes, I remember.
Totally manipulative and like, but like cute blonde hair and like pink shirts and stuff like that. Yeah.
I love an episode of SVU, like a he said, she said episode, like where it's like, but oh, it's only their word against somebody else's. Like when somebody is like not telling the truth and all they have to work on is like their like powers of deduction.
Yeah.
Love that in an SVU episode. Hayden Panettiere, a pretty like, at the time, fairly big name for SVU.
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't seen this episode in a long time, although I have a really vivid mental image of Hayden Panettiere. Like, I have this really vivid image of her, like, sitting on a chair or something that I assume is from this episode because it just came to me as soon as you said it. This is one of the, like, an SVU episode where, like, the guest star comes in and they're, like, the sun. The entire episode revolves around them.
Yeah.
And it's all about, like, giving that person, like, their star
power. Because she did come back when she was older.
Oh, did
to
she?
To do a, not as the same character, obviously, but, like,
no, I love it when they do that too.
So many times this happens.
No, I know the episode you're talking about.
See, I would say podium.
I'm also going to say podium.
Like, she places, but it's, like, not quite iconic.
You could not put that performance up there with Cynthia Nixon.
No.
So it's okay, a podium for me.
That's a podium. Great. Okay. One of my other favorite guest stars on as a villain character, the villain's character's name is Birdie Soloway, played by the fucking queen, Carol Burnett.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. Okay, so this, she kind of plays like a Black Widow-esque sort of character. She marries people and then kills them off. The episode that it comes from, there was a sex worker who was found dead, and this Birdie owned a piece of property that she said was like a dance studio, and it was originally a dance studio but was turned into like a taxi dancer sort of situation, and that's where this girl worked. And then there was this all like weaving of tales, and like it turned out that Birdie had like married several people and killed them off, and then she had this weird like sort of Norman Batesy situation with her son. Remember he had the mustache?
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't really like that episode.
Mm-hmm. So do we want to say, like, I don't know her?
No, you can't. I don't know Carol Burnett.
She's, like, I would say I'm going to podium it.
Yes, podium because it's Carol Burnett. Mm-hmm.
But they definitely, it's not their best work, but, like, the choice of, like, Carol Burnett, like.
Oh, yeah. So many episodes I love of SVU just because of the people that star in them.
Mm. Okay.
Especially, like, random Broadway actors that, like, only theatre people know. Okay, Jess is giving me like a no stop speaking motion, so I'm going to no stop speaking.
Okay, one of my favorite defense attorneys on SVU, Stella Danquist, played by the Queen, Bernadette Peters. She is such a fucking hard ass in SVU, and I fucking live for it. I live for it. I die. And like the sexy outfits, and like she fucking like cruises on in, and they're just like, oh, Stella.
Bernadette Peters is one of those people when you see in TV shows and you're just like, oh, look at Bernadette Peters go. Like,
I fucking die.
She's a great actor, but you're always just like, and then Bernadette Peters said this to Olivia Benson.
Ooh, that's my impersonation of Bernadette Peters. Ooh. I fucking die.
Oh, yes. That was fantastic. Do you have a particular episode? Because she was a recurring, wasn't she?
She was. I watched her the other day. I mean, all the people that she defends are sort of creepy. It was a particularly creepy guy. And I just, like, her hair, because, like, they what they do with Bernadette Peters' hair, if you don't know who Bernadette Peters is, immediately Google her right away. She has, like, this fierce, curly hair. But what they do in SVU is they, like, flatten the top of it. Like, so there's still a lot of body, but, like, it sits quite flat and square on her head. I didn't pick a particular... Use Googling pictures. I don't have a particular episode that I want to talk about with... Like, I just think as a presence, like, picking her for a defense attorney, like, very clever.
Extremely iconic.
I would put her in the iconic.
I'd put her in the iconic. Okay. I think I would also put her in the iconic.
Okay.
Just because sometimes, you know, I just feel like, not for Bernadette Peters, but some of those other Broadway stars, like, they've got to get on SVU every so often just to pay the rent.
Well, I mean, you know? It's filmed in New York, so, like, what else are they going to do?
Well, exactly. They're like, actually, oh, I finished my show.
Like, watch one of my favorite episodes the other day. A guest star was Kate Baldwin, who's a recent Broadway actor. She's fierce redhead. And the episode was, like, Kate Baldwin's character... Her younger sister, Heather, had gone missing years previously, and then this girl came to the house and pretended to be Heather. That one, yes, that one, with the shamrock thing. That episode...
It's like the changeling kind of, yes, like... Yeah.
Yes, yes. And, like, that episode was, like, twists and motherfucking turns. Like, it was so fucking good.
So effing good, yes. Okay, hit me, so what's, like, the next one?
Okay, cool. All right, let's go to, like, one of our, like... You know, standard, like, you know, every, like, pretty much every episode. Melinda Warner.
M.E. Warner. Always the best first 5 minutes of the episode. And she's always just like, well, she's there, like, she's taken off her rubber gloves. Like, they're like, okay, tell us, like, what happened with it? And she always gives some sassy line, like, well, you know, you're, turns out your victim is, you know, and then says some fact about, well, your victim's been, you know, in the Hudson for 3 months or something like that. Or, like, we'll just give some,
yeah.
Like, just, like, first and foremost, I am so sure they, like, write out reports and hand the reports to the police officers, and then they go, huh, interesting. Like, medical information is not delivered via sassy line.
No.
I love Emmy Warner. She's fantastic. I wonder how much money she gets paid, because she's literally, like, what, 6 lines an episode? You know,
well, she's not
every
in it
other
anymore.
Episode, like, no, I know she's not in it anymore.
Yeah.
But no, she's fantastic. I love her. I would definitely call her legendary.
Yeah. 100%.
Mm-hmm. Definitely a legendary for me.
Okay, cool. Great. Because that's, we're, so far we're in agreement. We haven't gotten to any. Okay. All right. So let's go to the DA.
Okay. Yes. Because, yeah, everybody's got opinions.
Alexandra Cabot.
I have
Blondie.
So many, I have complicated feelings about her.
See, I really liked her before that whole, oh, I got to go into hiding. And then when, yes, she came back and I was like, bitch, no.
The thing with Alexandra Cabot is that she was, she did so many things that were wrong and, like, would fully get you disbarred. Yes. I'm like, my heart is being really beating really fast. I don't know if it's coronavirus. I'm just really passionate about Alex Cabot because she's probably my favorite. DA and SVU, probably. Mm.
I definitely like her a lot better than Casey Novak, and I hate the bitch from, I don't even know what her name is. I didn't even include her because I'm like, I barely have enough brain space for you. But the one that was like, well, I'll see you on the crime scene. It's like, you're the DA. Don't
you have to
find out
what her name is so we can dun her. So Alex did a lot of things that would get her, like, literally fired if she was a real DA. But, like, one part of you was like, yes, you go and, like, get that evidence, like, fruit from the poison tree, whatever. Like, we've got to get this perp. And mm-hmm. then, but she was just, like, too, like, aggressive and forward and stuff like that. But she was, like, really, really popular with audiences and stuff like that. And also everybody
loved her cool blonde hair. Like,
loved her blonde hair. Loved her, like, gray-brown, like, power suit, like, outfit. But mm-hmm. she also had, like, a really good friendship with Olivia, and everybody, yeah, like, loved the friendship with Olivia. So when she left and then they were like, oh, we've got to find some way to bring her back, like, yeah, keep everybody happy. I didn't like that either. Like, especially in a show like SVU, it's been going for 20 years. They always bring people back and shit like that. It's to be expected. But, like, just let her go. Don't.
Yeah.
The thing with the DA, here's the problem. The thing with the DA is that you want them to be... like a part of the cast and in the episode and stuff like that. You don't want the plot to be about them. as soon as the plot becomes SVU falls apart, when there is a plot that
I
is
found
about,
the bitch that I don't like.
About
her name's
the main cast.
Kim Greilich.
Oh, I don't hate her. What did she do?
Absolutely. Like, when she like first showed up and she was like to Stabler and to Olivia, she was like, well, I'll see you on the crime scene. And it's like, doll, just like get us the warrants.
Yeah.
Get us the shit we need. We don't need you contaminating evidence.
No.
And then we... She was nice. Stabler with me, especially that whole shit with his daughter Kathleen. We'll get to that in a minute.
See, my issue with what you've just said is that you don't love my girl Casey Novak.
I definitely... Alex for me is number one, like before she went into hiding. Then Casey, who I really like because she was tough, but she was fair.
She was tough and sometimes she sucked, and they also sometimes did like stupid plot lines about her that I didn't care about. But I did like her. I did like her. I feel like
But
people...
I definitely still want to bat-bow Kim Greilich.
You can bat-bow. You can dun-dun Kim Greilich. That's fine. What about Raul Esparza's character?
Oh my god, yes, Rafael Barber. I immediately wanted to put him on the podium just because it's Raul Esparza, and I fucking love Raul Esparza.
The thing is that I haven't watched all too many episodes of the new SVU, but the first episode he was in, he like put the belt around his neck and like strangled himself, like to like demonstrate like some like I can't even remember what the thing was, but the guy like strangled the girl or the guy or whatever like with a belt around their necks and stuff, and he put his own belt around his neck and like demonstrated it, and I think the guy was like getting a little bit like into it, you know,
was
what
he
I
getting
mean?
Turned on,
he was getting a little bit like, oh yeah, and like that's some badass DA shit.
I think, is that iconic then?
I think it's iconic. Okay, but I haven't watched enough about his, like, there could be some shit plotline with
no,
him.
No, let's
like
go off that moment. We can go off moments. That is totally fine. Okay, so we're putting Raphael as iconic. Also, I totally agree with that because I am obsessed with Raul Esparza. If you have not watched his performance in Company, go and fucking do that now. Okay, so Alex Cabot, Casey Novak. I'm going to put Casey Novak
Casey can be a podium, I think.
Yeah, she definitely places.
Yeah.
Does Casey just place or is she iconic? No, does Alexandra like place
Alex,
or is she?
I think Alex, is she iconic? Yeah, she's iconic. It's not her fault that her later plot line sucked, like her fundamentally as a person, like in the beginning when everything
But in
was
the
pure,
lead up, when
amazing.
She would be like knocking down on fucking doors with like all those like judges, like I was so there for it.
Yeah, definitely.
Love how fucking into this you're getting. This is so funny.
I'm taking it extremely seriously.
Okay, let's take it back to one of the guest stars, a reoccurring defense attorney. That's Julia Zimmer, played by the one, the only Kelly Bishop.
Oh. Legendary?
Yes. Yes, 100%. Because like the episode that
I
watched with her recently.
I
love her. The episode that I watched with her recently was the guy that attacked that and killed that woman in Central Park with the baby and then like wrote innocent over the top of the baby's head.
Oh my god, I love that episode. That's one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah. And like she was like 100% attorney client privilege, and then she like turned on him, and then when he like gassed her in the car.
Uh-huh. That was an amazing one. What I love about her is that she is so like, she's like, you know, obviously, you know, she's a defense attorney, so she's meant to be like the villain and like, you know, like, but she's just so iconic. I love her.
I love her. I'm so glad that you said that. Yes.
I love her. And she's like, she just rocks up every so often, like every 40 episodes or something like that. And you're like, oh my God, yes. Like we're being gifted.
And it's just like, we now remember why we fucking love Kelly Bishop.
She's amazing.
Fucking stunner.
What's she doing these days?
Well, I mean, they tried to reboot Gilmore Girls, didn't they? It didn't really work.
I truly believe
mainly
that
because we fucking hate Rory Gilmore.
We hate Rory Gilmore, and yet I'm a Paris. Oh my god, can we in a Mitlu After Dark Patreon only?
Oh
can we talk
gosh!
About Gilmore Girls?
Yes. Tune into Mitlu After Dark, and we're gonna like pick which Gilmore Girls characters we are. Okay.
Oh my god, 100%. Amazing. Love that.
But okay. All right, Dr. Huang.
Oh. What's above legendary? God tier. He is the show. BD Wong.
I love his sereneness. Like, he's so serene.
His voice. He's like, well, the reason that you like to sexually molest people is because of your mother. Like, his voice is just like, you're just like, oh my God, yes. Like, he can say the most fucked up, evil, nasty shit. And, like, it's totally, like, just fine and normal. And he's so smart and amazing. Also, BD Wong is in Jurassic Park, one of my other favorite franchises in the entire world. Are you eating a Reese's Pieces?
No, I'm eating a Caramello Koala.
Oh, okay.
We've officially gone to the mania stage. This is hilarious. Okay.
Yes. Legendary, for sure.
Legendary. Okay. Stunning.
I'm going to get my Reese's piece.
Okay. All right. Who have we got next? Okay. I bring this guy up because I fucking hate him. Also, because he turned out to be a baddie and he was annoying as shit. Stucky. Ba-bow. Like, no.
Again,
no.
That episode, incredible. That episode incredible. Is one of my absolute favorites.
Also featuring so Kelly Bishop.
Also featuring Kelly Bishop. So annoying. Oh my God. When I watched the first like four episodes of the TV show Shameless, which he stars in. And I was like, I hate this motherfucker. I hate this motherfucker. Like, his weaselly little face. I cannot get into the show because I hate the actor so much for playing that character. He could be the most talented guy in the entire world. I'm never going to know because I'm never going to watch a show with him in it because I want to punch him in the face.
Okay. So he's on the bow bow.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Actually, I'm going to change my mind. Kim Gralick, I'm going to put in, I don't know her. I don't think she needs to be fully cancelled, but...
I support that because I did have to... I did Google her.
So we're going to say, I don't know her.
I don't know her.
okay. All right. Another fave, not fully reoccur... Not fully, like, main character, but definitely, like, a prominent reoccurring. Judith Light as Elizabeth Donnelly.
Oh, legendary. Legendary.
Yeah. And, like, the weird, like, sexual tension between her and Stabler.
Stabler, love it.
Okay, so she's legendary?
She's legendary, yes, okay. For sure. She's probably my... is she my favorite judge? She's my favorite judge.
Mm. Also, another iconic episode that I watched the other day, because I went through all of the Law & Order that's available on Amazon, I'm so sorry, was the judge whose son went missing, and it turned out it was this guy who was like involved in one of the cases, and then they figured it out. And do you remember that episode?
No.
It was this woman getting stalked, and it was this creepy guy, and then the judge who like signed the warrant on like his like apartment search, he like recognized this guy as his little boy.
I don't remember that episode.
I'll link it to you. It was
very
iconic.
I've seen it.
Okay. All right, so we're getting... let's hit this. Let's hit this now before we get to like our main
faves.
Our main five.
Uh huh.
Merritt Rook, iconic villain of SVU, played by the only Robin Williams. He got nominated for a Golden Globe.
Yeah, was it a Golden Globe or was it an Emmy?
Either or.
He got nominated for an award. I'm gonna say this, and then knowing that while I'm lying in bed awake at night, panicking about coronavirus, that I will remember other guest stars that I loved, but I truly feel like his guest appearance was the best guest appearance on
SVU.
It
was so good.
And that is an episode that, like, often, like, if you've watched a lot of SVU, like, within 5 minutes, you're like, oh, yeah, I remember this episode. And then watching it is just, like, watching, like, you still enjoy it, obviously, but, you know, you're like, I've seen this 1,000 times, blah, blah, blah. I can watch that episode so many times and still be
so
like,
good.
Oh, my God.
For those who need to know, the episode name is called Authority. Oh, my God. Seen by 12.06 million viewers.
Holy crap.
Holy shit. Okay, so basically they're called Elliot and Olivia are called out to a fast food restaurant after the employee is heard screaming in the manager's office. Bam, 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 bam. Then they find the person like bound and gagged.
And then the manager was like, oh, but I was told to do it. And it's Robin Williams,
right, yes.
And he calls him up on the phone and tells him to do it. I can't remember who he pretended to be, but he tells the person to do it. And the guy's like, I didn't do anything wrong. I was told to do it. And then they're like, go on this like wild goose chase and find this guy.
Strip search her for a stolen wallet. Stable informs a devastated Dwight that there's no Detective Milgram.
Yes, Detective Milgram. That's right. That's right. It's all coming back.
Yes. And then there's like a recording studio bit, and then he runs away.
And then it's all because his wife died.
Mm. And then like they like he jumps into the river and they presume that he's been drowned.
Yeah. I have the image of them looking at like the empty river in my head.
Benson and Stabler learn from Rook's colleague that his hatred of authority began when his wife died during childbirth following a mistake by the doctor.
Yes. Oh my God. It's such a good episode.
They find him at Grand Central Terminal, but Stabler loses Benson and Rook amongst the crowd, and her gun and phone are later found in a trash can.
Yeah, he takes Olivia like hostage in the recording studio.
That's right. Oh my God, the iconic moment when they turn the light off and then they turn the light on and then she's there.
And she's like there screaming. And that is like for those amongst us who like truly believe that Elliot Saylor and Olivia Benson should have wed, when he like hears her screaming, like they record it of her screaming and he loses his fucking mind.
Oh, also we need to say ba-bow to that girl that came in and replaced Olivia, and like she tried to get it on with Stabler.
Oh, I don't remember that lady.
Okay, maybe she's, I don't know her. But yeah, they like had like a make out against the car and I was like, don't you dare. He's married, doll. And if he, and even if he was going to cheat on anybody.
Was that he like knew her from somewhere, didn't he?
She was like counterterrorism and she came in and they were like, oh yeah, yeah. And then she just couldn't hack it.
Yeah. Oh, another great guest star was Marcia Gay Harden, who plays the like, oh, she like FBI or CIA, like counterterrorism person, and every time she's in it, it's stunning.
I don't know her.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. Sorry, Marcia Gay Harden.
So, Merritt Rook, obviously legendary.
Legendary.
All right. The Fab Five.
Okay.
Let's kick it off with my favorite munch.
Legendary, obviously.
Fucking legendary.
Munch's backstory about, I can't even remember the episode, but he goes into the, like an internet cafe and asks.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
He's like talking to that woman. She's talking to the woman about whatever.
She's my ex-wife.
Yeah, it's like iced tea, right? Iced tea's like, who is that like crazy lady? And he's like, she was my wife. That fucking gets me every single time. Love him. He's so good.
I love that he's like a cop, but he's also just like, oh yeah, well on my JFK
conspiracy boards. Like, yeah, he reminds me of me a fair bit.
Yeah.
Also, there's a big conspiracy theory that involves John Munch because he's also a character in like NYPD Blue and like one other thing. Google it. It's on the not to sound like Munch, but Google it. It's on the conspiracy boards. Oh
my God. Okay. Then next, Finn.
Obviously legendary. John, I don't have anything to say apart from John Mulaney's SVU bit. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh my God, John Mulaney has this, oh, don't you love it when people quote bits from comedians, but he has this extremely long bit about SVU. One part of it is about how you can say whatever the fuck you want on SVU. Like, you can't swear, but you can be like, turns out he was raped in the anus by a blah, blah, blah. And like, it airs on TV at like 12 p.m. And then his whole other bit is Ice-T and how Ice-T's character, Finn Tutuola, like, acts like it's his first day on the job every single time. So if somebody's like, yeah, what? You know, if like a child is raped or something like that, Finn's like, so that means he like gets off on like little girls. And he's like, yeah, he's a pedophile. Like, yes. You work in the special victims unit.
You mean he's fiddling with children? It's like, yes, Finn.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. And then he just goes on and on and on. It's fantastic.
So funny.
He also has one of the rare like plot lines that I like about his troubled son.
Yes. And he like goes, and there's that whole episode with Finn's son when the girl at Hudson gets raped.
Right, yeah.
And he doesn't handle it very well. And he's just like, you fucking make this right.
Uh-huh.
Without saying fucking, but like, you fucking make this right.
It's always implied. I feel like Ice-T, like you know that if SVU was real, he's like the cop that is totally like, you know, he says fuck, you know.
Yeah, he definitely says fuck.
He says fuck.
Okay, before we get to our like awesome twosome, Captain Cragen. I don't think he's legendary. I'm gonna put him as iconic.
No, I'm gonna put him as iconic too. Because he does some questionable things.
He does some really questionable things. And also lets the SVU people do some really questionable things.
Also let the SVU do the really questionable thing. But he like covered for Olivia for like some bad thing that she did and then ended up blowing up in his face. And didn't he have a gambling problem? Was it gambling? I think he had a gambling problem. Yeah, not his like fault, obviously. But yeah. No, probably not legendary.
Nah, probably, I would definitely put him as iconic.
I would definitely put him as iconic though, yeah, for sure.
Okay. Elliot Stabler.
Problematic fave.
Yes.
See, was he a terrible husband? Yes. Yes. Was he kind of ever so slightly like a little bit abusive to his wife? Yes. Was he not a great cop? Yes. Did he treat Olivia
badly? Did he beat up everybody?
Yes. Did he have a terrible temper? Yes.
Yes.
But that one episode where he has to go undercover and then he's like, he spends the whole time being like, wow, me and this criminal guy like aren't so different after all. Like, iconic and stunning. Stabler suffers the most from like plotline cancer because his whole stupid plotline with his fucking wife can't and stand family. His daughter.
Ugh.
If it wasn't so sexist, I would put his fucking wife in the dun-dun pile because it's not her fault that she was written annoying, but she was so annoying. She's like, you're never home. He's like, I'm a fucking homicide detective with the Special Victims Unit and we live in New York and it's the early 2000s. She's like, oh, I've got to look after all these kids. Everyone's getting
murdered and raped, hun.
Oh, she was so annoying. And like, so how annoying.
And fucking Kathleen. I was like, shut up.
Oh, so
be
annoying.
Be lucky. Be grateful that you have a father. Yes. Like Elliot Stabler, who's out there catching people that would kill your stupid ass.
Exactly. But, oh, man, he's one nice hunk of man.
I love also, like, underneath all of the problematic shit, he's like, yeah, well, I'm, like, true, like, Irish Catholic.
Yes. Yeah. No.
And going to church and shit. I'm like, fuck.
Mm-hmm. And his, like, little tattoo. He has that tattoo in real life.
Oh, so funny. Okay, so legendary?
Definitely legendary. Like, legendary with, like, a little asterisk next to it, being like, we fully recognize that, you know, the actions of this character do not represent, like, who we are as people, but, like, yeah, I would call him legendary.
Okay. And then
purely because also, sorry, like, the fact that as soon as he left, like, the show went downhill.
It just went so, and, like, Mariska Hargitay, like, she's fucking stunner.
Yeah.
But, like, even she couldn't save that shit.
But we're about to talk about her.
All right. Olivia Benson. I'm going to call it. I think she's like far and away above legendary. Like she's her own tier. Like
she is her own tier. She invented justice. She invented victims' rights.
Oh my God, Zane, we need that on a t-shirt. Olivia Benson. She invented justice.
The fact of the matter is that neither you or I would be here if Olivia Benson did not exist. Like, we'd be alive, but we would not be, like, here, like, we would recording not be this podcast living. Without Olivia Benson.
I wonder what she's got to, and also, Mariska Hargitay, obviously with her work on SVU and, like, you know, having IRL. Some understanding and stuff like that, doing amazing work for, you know, clearing the backlog of cases, of rape kits and stuff like that. Her continual work with all of that is incredible and should be applauded because it's a huge problem, not only in the US, in the entire, like, through the entire world, there is a backlog of rape kits that haven't been tested. And, you know, there are a lot of people that are walking free because of that. And Mariska Hargitay is, like, doing the hard yards and doing that work.
She actually posted something on Instagram the other day that was, like, to the effect of her saying that, like, you know, fighting for victims has become like the passion of her life. Like she has just so completely, like, can you imagine being like, what, 25-year-old Mariska, like rolling onto that SVU set in the glory days of 1998,
she was going to
having
have, like,
no
effect.
Idea of the impact that she was gonna have on television. Like SVU is the only Law and Order still running, but also, just on people's real lives.
I also die for her. I'm reposting F. Scott Fitzgerald's letter when he was quarantined in the south of France.
Yes, I saw
Spanish
that.
Flu. Oh my God, I live for her. Yeah, I would say Olivia Benson is like above
everything.
Above legendary. She's her own category.
Favorite Olivia Benson episode is when she went undercover in the women's prison. And then my second favorite Olivia Benson episode is when the little girl was buried underneath the ground and all she had was the 911 call. And she had to stay on the phone with the girl the entire time while they triangulated where the girl was buried.
That's right. Yes. And she was like all tizzed up to go to the opera or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The episode is called 911.
There's like people like banging and doing stuff outside. Okay, well, that's it.
That's it.
I actually had a lot of fun doing that.
I had a lot of fun doing that too, except I really feel like I thought about it really deeply. Like, I feel like my brain really is nice. Really firing.
I think that's the most I've laughed in a really good chunk of time.
Yep.
Thank you guys for indulging us in doing that. I hope it's given you a giggle. I hope it maybe has, you know, given you the impetus to go and watch more SVU or maybe start watching SVU.
Let us know your favorite.
Oh my god,
characters,
yes, rank your favorite characters. Oh my gosh, yes, please send us.
But
an
leave
email.
Number one blank because everybody's number one is the same. Everybody loves Olivia the most.
Everyone loves Olivia. But so then we go Libby Benson, obviously, legendary, iconic, podium, I don't know her. And if there's if there's any characters that we didn't talk about, feel free to pop them in there as well. I think that was really funny. I really enjoyed myself.
I had a good time.
We also want to say, like, from Zane, from me, from Ellen, please stay inside when you can. Please wash your hands. Please don't just do it for yourselves and for your loved ones. There are so many people in you, like probably in your community and in ours, that are immunocompromised, that need to be protected. So please do everything that you possibly can. Don't be a dickhead. Please don't go out like unnecessarily. There are people that are still working, obviously. And if you know, there's still retail workers, those the fucking saviors of our entire world at the moment, the incredible grocery shop workers, cleaners, mm-hmm. public transport drivers, doctors, nurses, and like especially like I really want to like shout out to people that are like, you know, like dustmen and like garbage men and stuff like that are still working really, really hard. And it goes to show that when shit hits the fan, like these people are our front line and mm-hmm. these are the people that keep shit going.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything of this like horrific time that we are literally in the beginning of, which is so horrifying to me, is that we need to look after these people more because we do not function as a society without them.
Our world doesn't fall apart when the CEOs can't work.
No, exactly. It's literally when Woolworths is shut. I really hope that you guys are all looking after each other, being kind to one another. Please stay inside when you can. You know, I still have to go out and go to work at the moment, but like I'm not leaving my house unnecessarily unless I need to go and get food or something like that. So look after yourselves, stay inside. Let us know what you're watching or listening to or reading during this time. Mm. We read and, you know, consume a lot of content when it comes to true crime and stuff like that. But even if it's not true crime, feel free to give us a ring. Feel free to send us an email or like DM us on Instagram. I also wanted to shout out like something really interesting that I've been watching for the last week or so. Dr. Sick Notes, who's on YouTube, he is a junior doctor in the UK. He has an incredible he's been doing like interviews with people specialists working at his hospital about the COVID effects. So that is something that is really interesting to like hear from people that are actually, you know, dealing with this crisis and everything. Why are you smiling like that?
I'll tell you after.
Oh, okay. So yeah, please look after each other. Oh my god, we've got another minisode coming and then we're going to be on to the next chapter of Mitloo in the midst of all the burning and the fire.
Yes. Also, that is only if like the world doesn't explode. We may have to take a longer hiatus if the world
dies. We may.
Dies.
And this, and like, that would be only to the safety of myself and Zane and mm-hmm. Ellen. So, you know, we'll see what we can do. I think I might go on by myself, or maybe Zane will be lovely enough to let me have a microphone to take with me to my house.
You can just get this one. It cost me like $50. It was mad cheap.
Yeah, I'll do that too. So, yeah. Thank you, guys. Look after yourselves. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Wash your fucking hands, Hans.
Wash your hands, Hans. Bye.
Okay, goodbye.